Hi, I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. On today's show, if you're bringing groceries home in your car or eating outdoors with family and friends, how long can certain foods last in the summer heat? A dietitian serves up summer food safety tips.
But first, growing numbers of doctors recommend daily aspirin to patients who have cardiovascular disease. But who was the first to establish this benefit? We have that pioneering physician with us on the show. Dr. Charles Hennekins was the first to demonstrate that aspirin prevents a first heart attack and the first to discover the life-saving properties of aspirin, both for patients experiencing heart attacks and for heart attack survivors. Because it's effective, inexpensive, and widely available, aspirin may have the best benefit benefit-to-risk and benefit-to-cost ratio of any drug of life-saving benefit in cardiovascular disease.
Dr. Charles Hennekins is the world's leading authority on aspirin research in cardiovascular health. His initial findings on aspirin's benefits were made while he was at Harvard Medical School. Today, Dr. Hennekins is the first Sir Richard Dahl Research Professor at Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton, Florida, where he continues to break new ground with additional research projects involving aspirin. Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Hennekins.
It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Asking the world's expert to explain what aspirin is made of and how it works is a little like asking Tiger Woods how to play miniature golf. But the fact is, our conversation should really start with the basics. So would you explain why is aspirin so valuable?
Well, it's kind of you to make the analogy between me and Tiger Woods. But aspirin really, in some ways, historically, we should remember that it's as old as medicine itself. Hippocrates, the father of medicine in ancient Greece, found that an extract that was produced from the bark of the white willow tree would relieve the aches and pains of his patients. And later, this was found to have an aspirin-like compound that was responsible for this benefit. Now, in some senses, my colleagues from NIH have told me that aspirin is older than medicine itself, because when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he was told by God to take two tablets and come back in the morning. But be that as it may, aspirin was synthesized in 1897 by Felix Hoffmann, a chemist working in the laboratories of Bayer Pharmaceuticals in Germany. And it's interesting historically that he was motivated, at least in part, by humanitarian efforts to find an effective and tolerable pain reliever for his father, who suffered from crippling and disabling arthritis. And we have to remember that just a little over 100 years ago, the risks of treating this disease were greater than the benefits. So aspirin became the wonder drug of the 20th century, the most widely used drug in the world, actually, for release of aches and pains and headaches. But it really wasn't until 1970 when Sir John Vane, who later won the Nobel Prize for his work, demonstrated that small amounts of aspirin inhibited the tendency of platelets in the blood from sticking together. And it was reasoned that by having this remarkable property, it might break the chain of events leading to a heart attack, because a heart attack comes from a chain of events that starts with an underlying process of clogging of the arteries, and then a clot forms on top of it. And that's what formed the basis of the research that I started alone in the Physician's Health Study that was the first to demonstrate that aspirin would prevent a first heart attack, and the work I did with my colleagues and friends from Oxford University, where I had spent a year demonstrating the life-saving benefits of aspirin when given during a heart attack, and in fact, when given to a wide range of survivors. Doesn't matter whether the occlusion is the heart, the brain, or the peripheral arteries, aspirin works. In fact, the Pakistani Medical Journal pointed out at the time of ISIS-2's publication, the editorialist said, "Allah is merciful, aspirin works," because it's a widespread medication and easily available and very inexpensive. And this is why it may become the wonder drug of the 21st century, because we have an epidemic of cardiovascular disease in the rich countries that now has spread to the poor countries. And in fact, cardiovascular disease is becoming the leading killer in the world. and the export of tobacco, obesity, and lack of physical activity in developing countries has produced this epidemic, and aspirin could be a mainstay of treating it.
Now, in terms of treating it, when you're talking about a daily dose of aspirin, what is that dose? Is that low dose? Is that a regular dose? Give us some numbers.
Well, that's a very good question, because the early studies in patients who had had a stroke used 1 to 2 grams of aspirin a day and showed benefits. But people were concerned that even though in high-risk patients who survived a prior stroke or a heart attack or other event, the benefits clearly outweigh the risks, it was then later determined that the lower doses, somewhere between perhaps 81 milligrams of baby aspirin or 325 milligrams of regular commercially available aspirin, produced the same benefit and looked like the side effects are less. So really, it appears that the best benefit-to-risk ratio for aspirin is somewhere for cardiovascular protection is between 81 and 325. But I should mention as an aside, the newer studies that have randomized patients suggesting benefits in cancer really are suggesting that maybe the 325 dose may be necessary if that's the concern. So there's no easy answers, and my feeling is if you think you're a candidate for aspirin, even though it's available over the counter and maybe on your shelf in the bathroom, see your healthcare provider and let that be a joint decision between the individual subject and his or her healthcare provider.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And we're joined by Dr. Charles Hennekins talking about the benefits of aspirins and some of the risks. One of the questions I had, before we get into how people are now suggesting it might be helpful in cancer prevention or recurrence, if you are someone who has never had a heart attack or stroke, but you might have a family history or high blood pressure, how do you know if you would benefit by taking a daily aspirin? So you're concerned about it and you have some risk factors, but you haven't had an event yourself.
This is an excellent question, and let me try to put it in the perspective of the data. We have overwhelming evidence that if you've had a heart attack, that aspirin will reduce your risk of a heart attack, of a stroke, of deaths from cardiovascular disease. And the risks of aspirin, which are about a 60% greater risk of increased bleeding and perhaps GI upset, are very small in comparison to these big benefits. If you're having a heart attack or occlusive stroke, because the risks are so much higher and we've shown benefits not only on developing another heart attack, a stroke, or dying, the benefits of aspirin are so great that some have said even if you're actively bleeding when you come to the emergency room or call 911, that if you're really having an occlusion, that the benefits of aspirin will outweigh it. So your question then should be framed in light of those data. Now you're a healthy person, so your risk of developing a heart attack is maybe 10 times less than the patient who's having one or who has survived one, and yet the risks of aspirin are the same. So even though it's an over-the-counter preparation, I would say that the decision to use aspirin should be an individual clinical judgment between the healthcare provider and each of his or her patients that weighs the absolute benefit of aspirin, that it clearly prevents a first heart attack, and now we've shown it prevents a first stroke as well. But that has to be weighed against the risk, and it's only those patients whose risks of an occlusion exceed the risks of bleeding, and that should be a decision made with your healthcare provider. I'm not in favor of people using this on their own without getting the advice of their healthcare providers. And it's only for those whose risk is sufficiently high to warrant the side effects of the drug. But having said that, we do have an epidemic of cardiovascular disease. It's still far and away the leading killer. If you look at the young people today, they're smoking more, they're heavier, they're less physically active, they already have more diabetes, and this portends higher risks of cardiovascular disease. For the first time in 100 years, these will be the first generation since 1950 that have higher risk than their parents did. So we have to consider that even among the adult population today who are at sufficient risk, 20% of adults have so-called metabolic syndrome, a constellation of obesity leading to abnormal lipids, abnormal blood pressure, insulin resistance that leads to diabetes. And if you look at people over age 40, it's 30% in 40 to 49, 40% in 50 to 59, and 50% in 60 to 69. So that's why these patients who have higher risks, like you're pointing out, not just the family history, which doubles the risk independent of the risk factors, but all these risk factors are there in a large segment of the population. They need to see their healthcare provider and make a decision about what's best for them.
So, Dr. Hennekens, the quality or what's in aspirin that is helpful in the vascular events is exactly what causes the problems. Are they working on developing something, a derivative of aspirin, that where you get the good parts of it and you cut down on the risks and the side effects?
Yes, that's a very good question, and this has been going on for decades. There was first the development of what's called the nonspecific anti-inflammatory drugs, ibuprofen derivatives, Motrin and Advil, naproxen derivatives, Aleve, and then later the specific COX-2 inhibitors for relief of pain that have less GI side effects. And what has been found? Well, what has been found in our recent publication in The Lancet on May 17, 2013, the most comprehensive review of the worldwide evidence, is that aspirin looks the best with regard to cardiovascular protection, because the COX-2s increase the risk of heart attacks by about 40%. The non-specific NSAIDs, ibuprofen, Motrin, that's ibuprofen derivatives, Motrin, Advil, even diclofenac, that increases about 60%. The only one that looks neutral in these data is naproxen, but the only thing in our studies in the overall worldwide analyses of all the data from all the trials worldwide that shows clear benefit is aspirin. So yes, there's been a lot of work done to try to build a better mousetrap, but on the basis of the available evidence, it's aspirin that really is showing the benefit on cardiovascular protection. And we showed about a decade ago that the statins, which really have great benefits in the prevention and treatment of cardiovascular disease, that when you add aspirin to it, you get additive benefits because the statins are working more on the underlying plaque buildup and the aspirin is working on the clot formation. So there's a lot that we can do here, but I'd also like to point out that I don't think we want a society that's living longer like it is today because of better living through chemistry. We have therapeutic lifestyle changes, regular physical activity, a brisk walk 20 minutes a day or every other day, which can be done into the oldest old, will reduce your risk of heart disease 35 to 55%. Maintaining an ideal body weight, the same. Blood pressure control, lipid control, glucose control, all these things should be done in the therapeutic lifestyle area, and the drug should be an adjunct, not alternative. When our findings, I guess these findings on aspirin made it into this publication that was called The Physician's Book of Days, January 26, 1988, aspirin prevents a first heart attack. That was the Physician's Health Study finding. The New York Times, I believe, or the New Yorker magazine, I'm not sure which, had a cartoon of the metabolic syndrome man smoking a cigarette with the Times under his arm at McDonald's, ordering a double cheeseburger, large fries, jumbo coffee, oh yes, and an aspirin. I got to take care of the ticker, you know. The problem we have is that most people prefer the prescription of pills to the proscription of harmful lifestyles, but avoiding those harmful lifestyles will give you bigger benefits, less side effects, and might reduce the need for all of these drug therapies that are so widely used. And that's my plea to the general public to redouble our efforts to try to adopt those therapeutic lifestyle changes that can really not only improve the quantity of your life, but the quality of your life as well.
In the couple of minutes we have left, I do want to get your opinion as far as some of the recent studies showing that aspirin may protect women from melanoma. That was one study. It wasn't a large study. Do you think there's enough data to support aspirin as a cancer preventive agent?
Well, as we've said in our May 1st publication in Clinical Investigation with my colleague David Bjorkman, a renowned gastroenterologist and the dean of our medical school, our new medical school, the first and only in Palm Beach County. We believe that the evidence is most secure on prevention of colon cancer because it comes from randomized trials. So for people who's got a concern about colon cancer, this perhaps should be added to the equation. The other cancers are promising but unproven. The melanoma study you just described is an intriguing finding. We would call it hypothesis generating. It comes from a data set that's an observational study, not a randomized study, and it wasn't designed to look at this question. So it provides a promising lead, but I think that the best reasons to take aspirin if you haven't had a heart attack, if you had a heart attack, is the heart attack itself. If you haven't had one, if you're having one, there's good reason to take it immediately. Some places, I'm told, like in Seattle, where the emergency medical services are so among the best in the U.S., is suggesting if you're having a heart attack, take an aspirin even before you get to the hospital. But in primary prevention, it's more complicated because the absolute risk is low. And right now, the evidence is strongest to prevent a first heart attack, perhaps a stroke as well. It's a little bit less strong, but getting more cogent for prevention of colon cancer, more research is needed on the others, and that's why I think the best way to address this is between the healthcare provider and each of his or her patients, that weighs the absolute risk on these diseases that are trying to be prevented against the hazard of the drug, and then we're going to do really the most good for the most people if we adopt that strategy.
Dr. Charles Hennekens, thank you so very much for joining us on Take Care. You've provided us with some valuable information and some funny jokes there, too. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for your interest in our work, and I do think it's an important message for the public to understand. So you're doing a very valuable public service, and I'm pleased to be part of it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Dr. Charles Hennekens is the world's leading authority on aspirin research in cardiovascular health. He spoke with us from his office in Boca Raton, Florida. For more information on Dr. Hennekens and the benefits of aspirin, visit the Take Care webpage at WRVO.org, where you can also download podcasts of our show.
Coming up, how long can that egg salad sit on that picnic table? We'll get summer food safety tips from a dietitian. You're listening to Take Care on WRVO Public Media.